Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
From John 1, verse 12. So I'm actually going to read from verse 1 all the way to 12 so we understand the context of the verse and what it's saying. And then we'll go from there. So the title of this message is We Must Receive Christ, and why it's important for us to receive Jesus as not only just our Lord, but also our Savior. So John chapter 1, verses 1 says, In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. But the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, but even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and reveal yourself to us as we go through this message. I ask that you would transform hearts, Lord God, and that you would help us receive your words and all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So the first thing I'm going to go over is who is Jesus? So the first part of this passage actually talks about Jesus and gives him several identity statements of who he is. So the first part says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So the Word is referring to Jesus. Jesus is the living Word. And it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. So this goes to show that Jesus not only is just the Word, but also he existed before creation. So that shows that Jesus is not was not created. He is the Creator. He was not a created being by God, but he is God who created all of the world. In verse 2, it says he existed in the beginning with God. That means Jesus existed in the beginning with God, along with the Holy Spirit and also God the Father. So he is a part of the Trinity. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. So this goes to show that Jesus is the author and creator of all creation. Verse 4 says, the Word gave life to everything that was created. So Jesus is the life giver. He gives life to anything and everything that was created through him. And his life brought light to everyone. So Jesus is the true light of the world. In verse 5, finally, it states, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So this goes to show that Jesus is not only just a light, but he is more powerful than darkness. He's more powerful than the enemy. He's more powerful than anything that we can face in this world, that he overcomes darkness and that the darkness can never extinguish the power of Jesus. So these are just several identity statements of who Jesus is in the Bible and how important it is for us to know them. The second part, goes over again. Jesus is the living Word. He is the author and creator of all creation. He is the life giver, which also translates to savior. And that word is very important. We'll come back to that later. He is also the true light of the world. There may be many lights that show up around the world, but Jesus is the one true light that leads to life. And he is the overcomer of all darkness. Now, the second part that I want to go over is the power of a testimony, right? In verse 6-8, it talks about how John the Baptist was telling everyone about the light, who is Jesus, and that so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. So John was telling everybody, he was, in a sense, the Bible calls him a voice in the wilderness. He was telling everyone about Jesus, who was going to come, and the amazing things that Jesus was going to do. So John's purpose was to point people to Jesus. John himself was not the Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah. And so the same thing is true for us today. We are called to point people to Jesus through our testimony. And John did an amazing job because many people repented, many people turned from their sins, and they believed in Jesus because of the testimony that he shared. So another powerful example of our testimony in the Bible is the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, verses 39, some context behind this this chapter is that Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. And she, for example, was a part of the Samaritan towns. Now, Jews back in the day did not talk to Samaritans. They were they stayed away from them. But Jesus broke that racial barrier and he talked to her because he saw the need that she had and he loved her. And so Jesus revealed to her, she was the first person he revealed to her that she was the Messiah. He was the Messiah, excuse me. Jesus revealed to her that he was the Messiah. And she was so touched by his example of how he loved her, even from all the bad things that she did, that she ran back to her own town where she didn't want anyone to know her. But she ran back to her own town and told everybody, come and see a man that told me everything I ever did. So verse 39 says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because of what the woman had said. He told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you have told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the savior of the world. So I just want to highlight how important it is for you to share your testimony. This woman was not qualified. This woman didn't have anything special about her. In fact, she was known in the town for her sins. Many people looked down on her, but because Jesus had touched her, because Jesus had talked to her and showed her that he loved her regardless of her sin, he loved her far more than that. She went to go tell everybody about the testimony of Jesus. And the New Testament actually records her as the first person in the Bible to win a whole city to Jesus. So don't ever downplay your testimony. There is power in what God has done in your life. Your testimony is just sharing about how God has touched you, how he saved you, and how he's changed your life. And many people can come to believe in Jesus just from your testimony. In fact, this was a group of people, they didn't even see Jesus do any miracles. They just heard about what he had done in her life, and they believed simply because of that. So that just goes to show the power of your testimony. So there are three ways to respond to Jesus, right? From hearing about who he is and the power of the testimony that you have, there's three ways to respond to this message. The first is that we don't recognize him. John chapter 14, verse 15 talks about, and this is Jesus who is talking. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. So one way to respond is by not recognizing Jesus for who he is. The world is not looking for Jesus. That's why when he came, they didn't recognize him as the Son of God, the Messiah. And so they overlooked him. So that's one way to respond. We don't want to respond that way. We want to recognize Jesus for who he is and to be looking for him, to seek out God. The Bible says those that seek will find God. Right. Another way to respond is that we reject him. So if you read in John chapter 10, verse 20 through to 42, and also in the passage that we just read, it says that his own people, the Jewish leaders, the religious people who were supposed to know Jesus, they studied the scripture all their lives. They missed him and they rejected him. So the Jewish leaders refused to admit and acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah because, number one, he preached a doctrine that was contrary to their beliefs and expectations. In their eyes, Jesus failed to be the Messiah that they wanted him to be. They expected him to be a Messiah that would come and destroy all of the evil and the enemies in their world, which was Rome at the time, and that they would establish an eternal kingdom with Israel as their prominent as a prominent nation to the world, meaning they thought that God would exalt Israel and destroy everybody else. But John chapter 3, verse 16 says that God came to save the world. God's heart is that no one would perish, but that all would believe in Jesus. So the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus because they didn't do what he expected him to do. And this is just a word of caution to ourselves. The Bible tells us who God is and who he has called us to be and who he is. We cannot use our own expectations, our old experiences to now expect God to be a certain way or expect him to do certain things. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he is unchanging. And just because things in our life happen doesn't mean that it now changes who God is. So they, in a sense, they rejected Jesus because they focused on their own glory. They wanted to receive glory for themselves rather than take on the glory of God, which comes from suffering. Jesus was called the suffering servant. He came to die on behalf of the world to pay for the debt of all the sins in the world. But they wanted God to just exalt themselves. They wanted to just be exalted and everybody else perished. They didn't care about anybody else. But that's not God's way. And so that's one way that you can actually reject God, because you don't expect God to do what you want him to do, instead of submitting to the will of the Father, which is what Jesus did. And he carried out the plan, which is to save the entire world. So another response is to reject God, which is what we don't want to do. And lastly, we can believe and accept him. So what does that mean? And who does this apply to, right? The Bible says to all who believe and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. So that goes to show that salvation is for everyone. It's not just for a select group of people. It's not just for only this amount of people and the rest don't receive it. Jesus died on behalf of all the sins of the world. He died for everybody's sins, right? So that we may come to know God. So salvation is for everybody. And when we believe and accept him, he gives us the right to become children of God. The right, in a sense, is now you have received an inheritance that comes only from Christ. And for example, when we are now adopted into God's family, we've now received promises and rights as his children because we are now his. So salvation is open to everybody. And John chapter 10, verses 24, Jesus is talking to people and he's saying, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, which means accepts the word of God as the highest authority, and also accepts the word of God as the one and true final say, meaning nothing else can cancel out or contradict his words. So he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, and believe in this context means that you believe in such a way that you change how you live. You believe the words of Christ. You receive it in your heart. And now you say, God, I'm going to repent. I'm going to change how I'm living. And it's going to be by the power of his spirit that you are able to do this. So Jesus says, he who accepts my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, because the wages of our sin brings judgment upon ourselves. But when we believe and accept Jesus, we have now passed out of death into life. So to believe and accept him is to listen to the words of Jesus and all that he said, and to believe in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, meaning that Jesus has paid for the penalty of our sins, and you now believe who he says he is and who we are in Christ. We now receive a new identity, which again, we're now his children. And from that, it now changes the way that we live. So you can ask yourself, why is this important for us today? Why does this matter, right? So like we just even described in this entire passage, Jesus has done the finished work. Now it's on our part to respond to his finished work. So the question I have for you is, how will you respond to what Jesus has done for you? God has done the finished work for every single person in the world. And we all respond to it, whether we realize it or not. We either respond by not recognizing him. We either respond by rejecting him, by saying, God, you're not the God that I think you're supposed to be, and exalting our ways above God's ways. Or we humble ourselves, submit to God, and we believe and accept in the finished work of Christ. So the question I have for you now is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? So now I'm going to just share the gospel, and what exactly, maybe you're asking yourself, well, what did Jesus do for me? I don't understand it fully. Now I'm just going to go over what exactly Jesus did for every single person in this world. So the Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. So each and every one of us has betrayed God. Each and everyone has turned their backs on God. And whenever we sin, we're saying, God, I know better than you. And my ways are better than your ways. And we turn our backs to God, and that's sinning. Yet the Lord has laid on him, him is Jesus, the sins of us all. So Jesus has paid the penalty for all of our sins. So Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So whenever we sin, we earn ourselves a wage. So maybe some of us here, we work. And whenever we work, we earn a wage. So whenever we sin against God, or we sin against others, or maybe even sin against ourselves, we earn a wage of sin, which is death. And it brings death to all parts of our life, not just spiritually, but in any other places as well. But God has offered us a way out of that. He says the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So Jesus has not only just paid the penalty for our sins, but now he offers us the free gift of eternal life, which is knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we've now passed out of death into life. So what does that mean? So in this, an example, in this illustration, it's saying the wages is what we have earned from living our life. And sin is an attitude or an action that goes against God, right? And from that comes spiritual death and separation from God. So it actually disrupts our relationship with the Lord. But even though this was bad news on our end, God has good news for us. And what is that good news? That there is a free gift from God, and that is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. The gift is something that we cannot earn, or we cannot do anything to earn this gift, right? A gift is freely given to us, and that gift is eternal life. So our life after we die in our earthly bodies comes eternal life, and we get to come and know Jesus and live with Jesus for in eternity forever. So Christ is the one who died on the cross for our sins that separated us from God. There was nothing that we could do on our own strength to fix this, to try to earn our way back to God, because the Bible says that every time we sin, the only way that sin can be atoned for is through blood, right? And that's why the blood of Jesus is so important. It paid for all the penalties of our sins, and it has atoned us back to God, right? So Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and now we have received that free gift through what he has done in our lives. Upon our confession of faith, we make him the Lord and Savior of our life. So again, this just goes to show that Jesus is the way and paves the way back to God, right? We couldn't do anything on our own strength, but from the finished work of Christ, we now have a way and a choice to respond and how we respond. Again, we want to respond by accepting and believing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because it's very important. Jesus has already done the work. Now God wants to come back into relationship with us, and he made a way through his son, Jesus. And when we believe and accept him in our hearts and by confessing him as our Lord and Savior, our relationship with God is once again restored. So if you would like to dedicate your life back to Jesus, or if you would like to rededicate your life back to Jesus, we're going to just say a simple prayer. You're more than welcome to say it right where you are. And the words are on the screen. So, Father God, I know that I am a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son, Jesus, died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you. I want to make you Lord of my life, and I will trust and follow you. Everything I have is yours now. In the name of Jesus,
thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.